This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 26, 2018. I'm Caleb Brown. A boost of tens of billions of dollars in military spending comes just as the U.S. is projected to hit trillion-dollar deficits as far as the eye can see. So does this new spending truly enhance American security? Cato's Carolyn Dormany comments.
We knew that the administration wanted to add a bunch of spending, but what are the House and Senate adding, or what have they added?
Exactly. This is a huge increase. The current appropriations bill right now for defense is about $675 billion for 2019. That's $606-ish billion for the base and then $68 billion for overseas contingency funds. Basically, anything that is going on in the Middle East, a lot of day-to-day expenses that are being incurred will get paid for by that OCO fund. But, you know, it's not just the administration asking for huge plus-ups. There are also still some congressional politics going on. The House added in a couple of extra littoral combat ships, which has, I think, you know it's in the news. It's that program is not performing the way that we hoped it would. And the administration only requested one. And the House said, well, how about three? So we're going to be spending about $1.6 billion next year buying three of those if the House gets its way.
All right. And this seems like it's fairly typical for the House and Senate over and above whatever the president requests in terms of military spending. They add on things that then even the Pentagon has to say, well, we didn't really care about getting this. Is there any of that going on now?
Absolutely. I mean, those types of debates are always happening. You also have the services with unfunded priority lists of, you know, we would really love to have an extra three F-35s, or we would really love to have an extra ship added in there. If you can find the money for us, please, Congress. And you do get a little bit of that. They're currently talking about, you know, a 2.6% pay raise for all military personnel, which is something that has been really highly requested by the services. So in part, it's good that that's actually happening. But the administration is also increasing both active and reservists. So we're going to see, I think the numbers are 1.3 million active duty and an increase to 800,000 reservists with the FY19 budgets.
Mike Lee of Utah, a senator, pitched an amendment that would have essentially ended unauthorized war in Yemen. That was voted down.
Yeah, that was a very unfortunate loss because Mike Lee and several other senators, Chris Murphy among them, Rand Paul, have been pushing for more visibility on U.S. actions in Yemen and have been really fighting against the administration's kind of executive overreach in this department. And they've been trying through a variety of means this, ending this latest amendment and then for the NDAA. And then they've also tried several resolutions of disapproval pertaining to specific arms sales to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Last year, one very narrowly passed. I think it was 44 yeses in the Senate. And then this past year, there was another on some PGM precision-guided munitions that almost passed, came so close at 47 yeses. And so I think we're seeing more visibility on American actions in Yemen, and that's really going hand in hand with more congressional action.
So to what extent is this boost in spending of $82 billion and change, to what extent is that being driven by whatever we believe the Pentagon strategy ought to be?
I think it's less what the strategy ought to be and kind of a reaction to a lot of the decreases or perceived decreases that happened under the Budget Control Act, which is still technically in force and will be in force until 2021, 2022-ish, depending on how long they extend it. But I think a lot of certainly this administration and a lot of members in Congress believed that, you know, our military is being depleted, our military is being run down, and we need to spend more and more money because we've been under this you know, cover of sequestration. So we have to right this wrong. And a lot of people have been linking that to perceived readiness problems in the services. But what you actually get when you look at this bill and this all of this legislation is they're not putting more funding in the accounts that would actually increase readiness. Those accounts are operations. Those accounts are support functions that would go to buying more flight time, would go to buying more maintenance on specific systems. Instead, Congress is choosing to acquire and procure more actual weapon systems. So you're not seeing a ton in the ONS accounts, and you are seeing a ton of that increased flow into procurement.
The Pentagon was apparently caught off guard by the president's claim that the U.S. needs to be able to dominate in outer space. And there's nothing in here about the Space Force. Do you view that as a real proposal, or is that something that should have come from the Pentagon to begin with?
Well, it's not necessarily a brand new proposal. I think a lot of people that are concerned about America's presence in space have been seeing that or feeling that where it is currently being allocated underneath the Air Force. And then there are little bits and bobs of space priorities in the Navy and in the ground forces as well. But they didn't feel that space was adequately being prioritized. And so there actually had been a couple of members of Congress put forward legislation to create things like a Space Corps that would be part of the Air Force but would prioritize space in a new way. And I think this administration just kind of took that to a whole next level in proposing a Space Force and kind of mandating to Mattis of, you know, go ahead and get this done. And I think a lot of people in D.C. are trying to figure out what exactly that means, how fast the president is hoping to accomplish this, and really what's the mission? What are the goals of the Space Force if we do decide to create it? And then beyond that, how do we adequately fund it? So these are questions that will hopefully be sussed out in the future. But I think a lot of people, not just at the Pentagon, I think a lot of people were really thrown for a loop when the president took it to a whole next level by asking for a full Space Force.
Carolyn Dorminey is a foreign policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes and Google Play, and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.